fun stuff on here.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 if they live in Philadelphia and the tri-state area. If they live at a distance, they can listen from anywhere in the world by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, last Wednesday, we had a great show. We reviewed Larkin Santa's wish list from last year, and we also had the pleasure of welcoming John Ratzenberger as our special guest, and I'll tell you, it was very well received. My thanks to Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, for their participation, and also Mark, you were wonderful conducting that great interview with John Ratzenberger. I also got a lot of positive responses from people as I went around. It's good to know that more and more people are speaking up about what's going on in America and want to see some positive changes come about. Now, if you didn't hear last week's broadcast, you can go to our internet site, go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Anytime link. It is very clearly marked, and you'll be able to hear the program, which featured not only John Ratzenberger, but the rest of the show. Well, today is Christmas Eve. It's also Hanukkah, the end of Hanukkah, and in a few days, Kwanzaa. Most Americans are celebrating something and enjoying the company of family and friends. And just as the people have been planning for these special events, we have been asking Americans to plan to support American-made everything possible so that we could create more jobs and get people back to work. That's the big thing. Well, this is Christmas Eve, and I want to be grateful, first of all, for the assistance of people like Mark Andel. Wow, what a guy. Thank you, Mark, for all you do. Larkin, you add a special touch to the broadcast, and we're going to hear from Larkin in a little bit with his Christmas wish list this year. And Rich, you got that special touch. You know how to add, you know, a little special spice to the mix once in a while. So thanks for your participation. And also, I want to thank our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, who keeps us on the go here and makes sure that everything runs the way it should. And I thank all of you, our listeners who are going out and joining our efforts. You are a special part of the campaign. You are our gift, not only today, but throughout the year. And as I go around, it is wonderful to hear that people are walking in stores and buying the American-made products available. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was at a special event. We had a Vigilia dinner, and we had about 320 people. And one of the people came up to me and said, I told my kids if they can't find anything American-made, I want them only to buy me a poinsettia for Christmas, and that's enough. That'll be more than enough, and that'll remind me that you went out of your way to look for American-made. First, I would like to welcome Mark Andel today. Mark, how are you doing?
Real good. Mike, Rich, Larkin, Merry Christmas. Here we are, Christmas Eve. Who would have thought, Mike? You know, going through this year, and what a great year it's been. Doing really well. The stores, I'm really proud of the community and my customers in the Western New York area and along the website. Just been an awesome the last 5-6 days since our last show. Has been really, really great. The weather in Buffalo has been on my side for retail. John Ratzenberger, again, was on last week, and then he was on Mike Huckabee over the past weekend. It almost got bumped, but boy, did he nail it, talking about the movement. Mike talking about my gift box and taking it apart and walking through the Slinky and the different vendors that we supported in it. And just he gets it, you know, just supporting where we got to go with skilled workers and what we've done up here with the stores and how people can make the difference. So, I want to thank our listeners and wish them a Merry Christmas, too. And, you know, thank them for all they've supported us, you know, the radio show and doing their part by buying Made in America products.
Yes, it's been a movement. You're absolutely right. And together, we've all been communicating a very positive message to people that we want working age and able-bodied Americans to be able to go out and support themselves so they wake up in the morning, they feel great about going and earning their own way, not being dependent upon government, family members, or whatever it takes to get by. Mr. Logis, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys, and happy holidays to everyone. Mark, I want to relay back to you that having John on, a lot of the people who listen, who know about the show, just associates of mine, friends, every one of them commented about having John on. So really appreciate you doing that. And we've got to get him back on. I've been putting together, Michael, a new list here of guests that I'd like to have back on. It's pending that it meets everyone's approval. One guy I want to get back on is, after the New Year, is Scott Paul. And I want to have him give us a year in review for manufacturing and see what progress we made in 2014. I think we'll be able to get him back on. But looking forward to a strong end of the year. And I do think Larkin was right when he said at this time last year that Made in America was going to have a big year in 2014. I see it as a big year because undoubtedly the consciousness of Made in America really grew over this year.
You know, Rich, you're right. I had a very interesting experience this morning. The lady stopped me to ask me about some information, and she started talking, and I said, we're supporting American Made. I hope you'll be able to go out and help us. And she said, oh, I am nothing but an American Made supporter. And she says, it's also a reason for me not to go out and buy a lot of stuff anymore. I just say, I can't find it American Made. I'm not buying. So that is a hint to all of the manufacturers and the business people. Make sure you get that American-made product on your store shelf so you'll be able to sell it. Mr. Larkin, how is everything with you?
Well, good morning, Michael. Good morning, Henry, Mark, and Rich, and anybody else involved with our initiative. I wish you the best of holidays to you and yours. I hope it's steeped with family and that Santa Claus brings you absolutely everything that you want, and that it's that kind of a great holiday for everybody. So I guess we ought to just head first right into the old wish list.
I think Larkin wants to begin the conversation today with a wish list, which he says is unbelievable. And let's hear what Larkin has to say.
Now, first of all, there's going to be a lot of repetition here. The list is only five strong, and I'm hoping that Mark and Rich can add to each and every one of these points. I tried to make them as simple but at the same time broad as I discussed additional award initiatives. But I asked Santa first and foremost for the American-made movement and the American Workers Radio to have a banner year in 2015 promoting the American-made initiative and that American consumers' desire to search out and buy homegrown products grows significantly in 2015. So everything that we do from day in and day out to our radio program and to actually the lifestyle that Mark Andel lives, I hope it grows exponentially in 2015.
Very good. I want to make a comment before I go to Mark and see what he has to add to that. But I would say, Larkin, since last year at this time, we generated a lot of new supporters for the American-made movement, and in the process been urging American-based businesses to also become more competitive in every way possible so we can get those jobs back here on America's shores. Well, Mr. Larkin and Mr. Mark, what do you have to add to Larkin's first part of his wish list?
Well, you know, me and Larkin became a lot closer this year, so a lot of respect to Larkin for what he does, and you, Mike, and Rich. So Merry Christmas to you guys. I wish us the best year as Larkin on radio and with our initiative. I'd like to challenge the politicians and the consumers more in 2015 by holding them, even, you know, politicians to consumers, holding them accountable and responsible to buy Made in America products. We talk about it. we try to make raise awareness for consumers and all the power they have. I want them to realize they have the power now. I want to take it one more step, raise the bar, complain there's not Made in America products, buy Made in America products, and really make change in 2015. It's time. We're all educated more. We all know how much it matters, how much the skilled worker shortage is. But we, the people, right to the politician, hold them accountable and responsible more, Mike. Call them, challenge them. And, you know, ruffle feathers and really get into the trenches and really take this to another level.
And I think the most important word is the one that you brought up as it relates to our initiative, and that is awareness. My brother asked me the other day, as we were talking about the American-made movement, what are you going to do about it? What can you do? Are you changing people's minds? Are you making people build things in America? I said, we're doing all of that. But the most important thing we're doing is making people aware of the situation and what buying American-made products does for this country and how it will go a long way to solving so many of our problems.
You know, Larkin, you're right. And as I talk to people, they say, I just can't imagine how this happened to us. How did it get to this point? After all these years, where was the media? Where were the politicians? Where were the business associations?
Well, it was the perfect storm. Exactly what it was.
Yes. We just sat back, and while we had a certain level of jobs, we just, you know, thought everything would be okay. It would take care of itself. But now that we see we, the American people, have to be the leaders of this movement, we're taking some action, and it's being very successful. Rich, what do you have to add to Larkin's first wish list?
Well, Michael, to your point about people wondering what happened, to quote my favorite band, the Beatles, sometimes living is easy with eyes closed. And when we had access to any amounts of product and readily available and accessible, and it was in some way easy to not pay attention to what was going on elsewhere around the world. And I think right now, Larkin, when you bring up the gas example, when it's down a few cents and it brings in all of this money into the economy, the same principle, I would say, applies with American-made. If households just get a few more American-made items in their household, even lower to moderately cost items, think about the huge impact that can have on Made in America, because it can support the existing companies, right, Mark? Your type businesses that are selling. Not that there are other businesses, Mark, like you. You're truly one of a kind, and I mean that in terms of really leading this movement. But businesses who are making things here in America, Michael, we can support those businesses, and if those businesses are growing, they are going to create the things that we talk so much about on this show, which is jobs and more employment and growth and expansion. So just a few items, Larkin, just a few items more a year.
Yep.
And it's going to have a significant, a measurable, palpable impact on Made in America.
If a consumer five times next year on five different occasions will put down something made in China and pick up something made in the USA, it will have an overwhelming effect on the American economy. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to need to happen in order for us to repair the infrastructure of our manufacturing economy. And again, I use the example of the toaster. I could start manufacturing a toaster tomorrow morning in my garage, and start a high-tech toaster business. But unfortunately, I cannot find a single component part that goes into a toaster made on our own shores.
Hey, Larkin, can I challenge you on that? For 2015, if we can't find a toaster, I'm going to build it.
Okay.
Okay.
I love it.
I got some neat ideas because I like toast in the morning.
I cussed out my toaster this morning.
Let's do it. It might be heavier than most.
Yeah.
You might be the only one that gets one.
Right.
But
right.
Let's do it.
I'll take pictures of that and send them around the world. That'd be great.
We're going to do it.
I think we should announce that Mark Andel is going to invent the first full-run toaster. Mark, we're depending on you.
It's
keep us posted on the progress.
The moon. You know, we did it. Somebody challenged somebody.
There are a couple great sites online that help you find things downline like that. Manufacturers belong to these manufacturing organizations where if you need the filament necessary to operate in a toaster, however that's described from an engineering viewpoint, you can find it. And if you can't find it, then,
Oh, I think this is going to be great.
You know what, Mark? Maybe you could ask someone to research, when did the first toaster come about in America, and when was the last toaster made in America? I think that's a great idea.
Oh, we're going to do this. We're the toaster, and everybody gets it, right?
Okay, yeah, that's
right,
great.
Next to the grill.
What a great
have one.
What a great idea.
You know,
yeah,
I just want to
do this. This is big for 2015.
Okay,
guys.
That's our.
You know, guys, I want to say that since this time last year, I really see that there's a major change in the way the Americans are buying things, and it's evident because business owners report to me with that when I stop by, that people are growling to them that why they can't find a better balance between American-made and imported stuff. People are offended now by it, which is really good.
Well, you know, and American Express and a few other, you know, major American organizations, the companies have, you know, put their money where their mouth is and come up with, you know, buy American-made or buy locally. Coupled with our initiative, it's just like Mark said, it's awareness, and we work on it every day, and we're just inching and inching and inching, and we'll get it back sooner or later.
Now, we may have Mayor Ed on with us later today. Maybe this would be a project that we could have a Buffalo and an Allentown company, you know, start putting some manufacturing facilities for this new toaster. And I'll tell you, Mark, I love toast in the morning,
oh,
too.
Oh, we're going to do it. It'll be stainless. Oh, it's going to be nice.
I have toast every morning. I swear I do. I have toast every morning. That's why I need a toaster, because I cuss my toaster out. I've thrown them out the window. I drowned them in the water to see if they'll still work. I'm so mad at them. But
we might not be able to sell, but you're going to have the best toaster.
That'll be cool.
Well, Mark, the slogan can be, as our audio engineer will attest, the slogan can be for 2015, let's get toasted.
There you go. You might have to wear a welding helmet, Larkin.
When you're a hard hat and goggles. Hey, Michael, you know what? One other thing real quick on this point. Part of this raising awareness is also more and more consumers realizing that many items that were so cheap because they were made overseas, now things that are being made here, same items, are costing even less.
Even less, right.
And I give one example I give a lot to people, and I realize it's a bit of a niche type, not everyday home product, but Henry, our audio engineer, he's really good. I'm not, but we both play guitar. Even American-made instruments, some are now the same cost, if not a little bit less, than Chinese and Korean-made instruments. And a few years ago, that was pretty unheard of. I mean, you just didn't see it for a new item. And more, we're seeing things pop up. So those three, four, five items, Larkin, that we want to put down made somewhere else and get made in America, here's the good news. They're actually available.
Yeah, yes.
They are available, and they're actually the same or maybe less in terms of cost.
And, Rick, I know, like, even guitar strings and things with Ricky Lee and his friends in the band. CJ owns a nice music store in Altoona, PA. But there are, like you said, a lot of that stuff, even the amplifiers. I think the old tube ones you can still get here, things like that. But neat stuff.
Very good. Mr. Larkin, Connolly, we are going to have you go to point number two.
Point number two. And number one is significantly number one for a reason. Number two is a new initiative. We've talked about it all year long. But I truly, truly think this is extremely important. We all recognize the need to turn around our failing educational systems. I'm asking Santa that it become one of the leading issues our government on every level addresses this coming year. We've spoken, and for that matter, everybody has spoken about how far our educational system has deteriorated. Now we must act, and we must act quickly with a sense of urgency, grave urgency. Education is the backbone of anything, of any thriving, successful democratic society, and we have allowed our educational system to fall on its face.
You're absolutely right, Larkin. That is a wonderful. Last week, John Ratzenberger said that much of our problems began in America when they stopped the shop classes in the schools. And that's the truth. It's a fact. Because no matter what, after you had participated at the shop classes, you at least left with some knowledge of something. Today, I think that it's questionable. What do you think about that, Mark?
Yeah, I do. I think, see, the classes in schools, the wood shops, the metal shops, electronics, all these classes, what it does, it raised awareness of the student to see what's out there. It sparked their interest. It ignited that can-do spirit, which is the American dream. And that's what we need to bring back. Now, the schools I'm seeing through the welders I'm finding, the ones that do go to schools, unfortunately, the school didn't do their homework. They didn't get an understanding of what us businesses need. And they're teaching stick welding compared to what I need is pulse MIG. So they've got to come through, tie with the businesses, find out what we need, and produce the students and our future employees.
And that's so true. And that's failure on the elementary level, on the, you know, on the eighth and ninth grade level. You know, the really sorriest point about this is once you start in first grade, our educational system is prepared to let you down all the way through college, where you're going to pay $40,000 a year, come away from school with over $150,000 worth of debt, and not be able to find a relevant job. So, hello, college professors who make, mid-six-figure salaries and don't work 4 hours a week because they have tenure, all the way down to the union problems and the tenure problems we have in our high school and grade school systems. It just needs to be addressed. I mean, it needs to be improved.
Well, you just mentioned something which I agree with. This has been a 30-year mistake. 30 years our educators have been watching our boys and girls graduate high school and college and not have a future. It's wonderful to have that sheepskin. That's not going to take you anywhere with a degree in weaving baskets or whatever. That's simply not what America needs anymore. We have to do what some of the Europeans and some of the Asian countries are doing. You must get out of school knowing something. That's why they're so good with music and math and everything else. You must come out knowing something. Our people just put in time in America, and I think we as the taxpayers paying the bill for the education have to start speaking up. Rich, you're someone who's been in the system. What would you say?
Yeah, guys, I covered education as a reporter. I have a bachelor's degree, and I've always said I am a pro education person as any. But I want to tell you, Mark, I want to mention this comment and tell me what you think about this. I think that liberal arts schools, general kind of academic educational institutions, they need to start paying attention a little bit to the way trade schools are. Because I will tell you that trade schools, the people I know who have graduated from trade schools, on average, and this is not a critique of students who have gone to liberal arts schools or non-trade schools, but I want to tell you, Mark, the students that I've met, the grads, they are just so much more focused on what it is that they want to do. When I meet an MBA student down here who says to me, well, I've been offered several jobs and I haven't taken any, and I ask, well, you know, why not? I mean, what's the job? Well, it's in this and this and that. I say, well, that sounds like it's what you studied. Yeah, but it's only $30,000 a year, $32,000 a year. And I'm sitting going, well, I'm sorry, I don't follow where this idea of because you have an MBA, you're supposed to make $250,000 a year. And that right there, guys, this is one of the key problems. An education should never stray from having some professional career orient to it. However, education is just like it sounds, right? It's exposure to things. You have to do it at younger ages so students come up and it's not just Lark in the herd mentality, going through the high schools and then eventually maybe into the colleges. I mean, we have so much student debt, Michael, in this country that there are only two companies in the world, ExxonMobil and Apple, which are the two biggest companies on this earth. Those are the only two businesses in this world that make more money than the federal government does with interest on student loan debt. Think about that.
That's exactly sad to say.
Think about how nuts that is.
Yeah, it is crazy. But this is it's a failure of leadership to say, okay, these people are in debt, but are they able to get out of the debt? Have they been given any kind of a future once they graduated? The answer in most cases is no.
Well, this is where elected officials, though, education's as good an issue as any, where elected officials at all levels, what they need to do is they need to punt, and they need to say, we're not really sure we know what exactly needs to be done. And from that point on is when people that can come into the people that can influence and have access to the lawmakers are the ones who can come in and start to really reform education. And whether we think it should be done at only state levels or there should be a combination of federal and state influence, that's a separate discussion. But the problem, guys, with education is like any issue in our country. It's who has access to the lawmakers. And the people who have the most amount of access to the lawmakers are all of the donors. And damn it, there are some huge, huge donors in terms of amounts of money that they give to lawmakers to try to influence the outcome of education.
I agree with that.
Herd mentality with this issue.
I'd like to add something to that, Rich. Maybe it's time for us to start speaking up to some of those big donors and tell them that the national leaders are not leading our young people to future jobs and skills.
Michael, I'm going to tell you, those donors won't care what any of us on this panel say. What the politicians care about is, in terms of campaign finance, is that they can receive unlimited amounts of money. And let's not be naive to the fact that any issue you could point out in this country, whether it's education, immigration, health care, doesn't matter what it is, there's huge amounts of money, unlimited amounts, in the billions, sometimes more than that. I mean, our last midterm we had, most expensive ever. People who are working at Walmart for $7 an hour, and the average small business person trying to stay afloat, she is not given, Michael, $5, $10, $20 million to super PACs. And those are the people who have the most amount of access to our lawmakers, which is one of the primary reasons why lawmakers are just simply out of touch with the realities of day-to-day business, whether it's education or Mark Main America or Lark and the people you're advising on a day-to-day basis. It's because they're not generally around these people, right? They're around humongous donors who say, I want the laws this way and that way. And Michael, that access is only going up. The access that donors have is only going up. In other words, there's more and more. So this is the education, Lark, and this issue is so crucial, and yet we just don't seem to have a good grasp on what it is we have to do, because everything is so corporatized and monetized in the education system that it's just, let's get them in and get them out and get them in and get them out, and that's not how you educate people.
You're absolutely right. Rich and Larkin and Mark, I have to acknowledge very briefly and extend Merry Christmas wishes, Vesoi Shvyant, and Happy New Year wishes from our daily radio sponsors here on 860, and they include Mr. Leon Mankowski, Serena's Auto Body Shop, Mr. Chester Kshanowski, the Net Cost Market, the PRCUA, and Mr. Joseph Drobot, President, Michael Steinman, Attorney at Law, and also Dr. Eva Machak, Dental Offices in Philadelphia, and Dominic Rostotsky, Attorney at Law. And I also would like to mention Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and the Polish American Travel Service in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. And when you're out shopping, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And also Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of Washington Savings Bank, wishes everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, as does Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, and Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance, and Dr. Wojciech Zin of Everest Dental. And Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance, wishes everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And the Royal Cracovia, located at 510 Whitehorse Pike South in Magnolia, New Jersey, wishes you the very best. Check them out on the internet at royalcracovia.com. And don't forget, when you go to the front page of American Workers Radio, look up Made in America Store, where you'll find 100% of everything they offer made in America. Well, thanks to our sponsors as we wish them a Merry Christmas. I want to thank them for supporting us every day. We're on 7 days a week here on 860 AM, and we're very pleased to have Wednesdays as American Workers Radio. Well, I'm going to return now to Mr. Larkin Connolly, who is going to continue with his Christmas wish for Santa. And what's number three on your list?
Well, I think Rich gave me a great segue from the education to number three. And number three is a little bit differently worded than it was last year, but it, again, is a repeat because I think it's that important. But I'm asking Santa for serious changes in the process that we use in this country to elect our government officials. It starts with term limits, and it goes all the way through full citizen participation in the election process. Only when serious changes happen will the revolution start in this country. When our citizens turn off their TVs and get out and get involved in the election process, the revolution and the changes will come. It's time to return to government by the people and for the people.
Wow, Larkin. Oh, my God. I'm overwhelmed by that statement. That is actually a fact. There should be a mandate that everyone votes. You know, in Australia, 96% of the people come out and vote because they're mandated to vote. And if they miss more than one election, they get a fine. Now, we don't want to fine people, but we just want them out.
Why not?
Well, we could fine them. Yeah. That's
fine. Yeah. Find them and give me the money. I'll find something for Mark to do with it. I promise
you. In fact, maybe we could fine them for not voting, and maybe that fine money could go to education rather than our parking meter money have to go where people are being punished for coming into parking districts. And we can also, yeah, Henry said to put the money toward research and development of new toasters.
New toasters, yeah, exactly. That'll work. Hey, listen, I could straighten out a lot of the educational system in the city of Philadelphia if I just took half of what we pay the presidents of our colleges and universities in this town. Just take half of it and give it to the high schools.
You see, Larkin, you know, you're right. You know what the problem is? No one ever thinks that the money that those people are making has to come through tuitions or grants.
How do you pay a college president $1.4 million? How do you do that? What does that individual do that could possibly allow us to think that he or she is so important that we would pay them over $1 million a year to do their job? Makes no sense to me at all.
Rich, I hear you in the background. Let's hear.
Larkin, could be worse. He could be the football coach at a school.
Well, that's my...
He makes three times that.
Well, you know what? There's at least the football program well-played and well-placed. At least that brings in some money to the university. So you want to create a winning program. That's still lame as far as I'm concerned, but there's at least that argument on that side.
Larkin, I want you to know that Mayor Ed is with us. And Mayor Ed, are you ready to go wild today or what on this Christmas Eve?
Absolutely.
Now, we're here, and normally at this time of year, Larkin gives a wish list for Santa. I'm going to ask Larkin if he would give a synopsis of his first 3 points.
Well, my first wish to Santa Claus was that the American Made Movement and American Workers Radio initiative reach new high levels, and that the American consumer stops and thinks about buying American when they're given the opportunity. Number two, we need to turn around our failing education system, not a lot has to be said about that. I think we're failing our citizens on just about every level when it comes to education, charging them $150,000 for a college education with no relevant job waiting when they get out, all the way down to graduating 46% of the students who start high school in some of the major American cities. And the last one that we were talking about, Mr. Mayor, was asking Santa for serious changes in the process we used to elect government officials. And to that end, it's just time that Americans get involved in our electoral process, that we start getting disgusted about the 20 to 30% of people that show up at different elections and And we return the government to the people because it is supposed to be government by the people and for the people. So those were the first three.
Well, Mr. Mayor, what do you think of those three ideas?
I think they're great ideas. I echo that third one, getting people involved and making sure that people come out and actually vote, I think is really critical to changing that process. And making sure that people know who they're voting for, I think is really critical as well. I mean, a lot of folks actually go to the polls and don't have any idea who are the folks that they're voting for, and in many ways vote against their own interests. So, you know, we need to support folks who believe in the concept of being made in America and supporting, you know, local workers and making sure that we are competitive again in the world marketplace.
Now, you were not on with us at the time, but we had a challenge continuing here today. Mark Andel is considering to make a toaster in America. And wow. I mentioned maybe we could have somebody in Allentown join that challenge. So maybe, Mayor Ed, we're going to ask you to consider who in Allentown would be a good partner for that, because we cannot find one regular household American-made toaster. If we go into a restaurant or something, some of the bigger commercial stuff is made in America. But the smaller toasters where we would like to have it in our house, it's not made in the USA anymore. So Mark has committed to try to see what he can do to get us a toaster. And from that initiative, maybe we'll be able to mass produce, and you know, American Workers Radio and the Made in America store and everybody else could benefit.
I have a bigger challenge: find a plastic fork that's made in America.
Right, that's so true. That is so true.
We're close. I'm going to get Mayor Ed, one of the RD units, research and development team. Mayor Ed, I'll add you too. So you'll get Larkin's getting the first toaster. You're going to get number two, and then I'm going to send that with plastic.
Well, you know, we got a great industrial incubator up here that provides space for smaller, you know, manufacturers that are starting out. So maybe that's a place to start looking to see if we can find somebody to actually make a toaster.
Very good, and. Mike, I'd like to just add to Larkin's point three. You know, we want qualified people in office. I said qualified people, term limits, and a report card. Remember, Mike, when I said that, to make sure they're doing what we need and how they're doing it. And I think they need to move forward. They need to do it for their loved ones and do it for country, you know, not for themselves.
So I'm going to give you my favorite report card, and I really enjoyed hearing this story. And that is, you want to hear a report card? I'll give you a report card on the mayor of Allentown. What you need to do when you run for mayor in Allentown is get nominated by the Democratic Party. And then as you get ready to run against your opponent, you discover that the Republican Party has, in fact, nominated you also. So you're running against yourself. That's a report card.
I worked on that one a little bit, so you know.
Now, Larkin.
Yeah, I got both sides of the nomination on that one. Yep.
Yep. Well, that's a report card. That to me.
Well, Mayor Ed, this is Rich here, and happy holidays to you. And again, my compliments and our compliments on the real progress being made, and it's as great an example I can think of in the country where local politics can really have a positive influence on a community and on a city. Now, the thing that I did want to ask you, and sorry, I should have looked this up ahead of time. Cher has come to Allentown, right?
No, Cher got sick. Cher's really sick. She's canceled all her tours. She actually canceled twice. She must be pretty sick. She's canceled all her tours nationwide. So, no, Cher's not come. But Neil Diamond
is coming
to Allentown.
We get to talk about Cher on our show.
So. Neil Diamond is actually starting his world tour here in Allentown.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to bring my wife because Neil Diamond is my wife's favorite. He sold out already?
Yeah, two sold-out shows.
Well, I know a couple people in Allentown, though.
maybe you never know.
A little SRO, maybe I could stand in the back of the stadium. I don't know.
Well, Mr. Larkin Connolly, what would you have as your fourth point?
Yeah, we want to get through the fourth and fifth point real quickly here. I asked Santa for a kinder and gentler society, all the way around, in every element. All Americans learn to treat each other with respect. You know, I don't actually in my heart of hearts think it's the way police are treating specific races and ethnicities that is creating the problems we face now. I think the country has too many disenfranchised citizens. That's the problem. We can't tackle the problem by calling on moral changes in the country. What we have to do is get everybody involved, get everybody back to work, get people starting small businesses, because I think that these disenfranchised citizens have been let down by everything from education to opportunity. So let's get everybody back to work. And idle hands are the devil's workshop. I've said it a million times. So let's get them back to work, and we'll make a lot of these societal issues that we have go away.
Absolutely. What would you like to add to that, Mr. Mayor?
I don't know if I can add much to that. I would just ask Santa probably for some sensibility as we have a new governor coming into office, and hopefully we'll have a legislature that will work with him and bring our state, Pennsylvania, back into going in the right direction, creating jobs and spurring on the economy.
Yeah, I'd love to see all the political wrangling ended and all focus placed on making jobs a priority in the state of Pennsylvania and the state of the whole state of the country. I mean, every state should put their priority on jobs. Larkin is right. The idle hands are devil's workshop.
All these are really, definitely Christmas list, because we need a Christmas miracle to have any one of these happen.
Yeah, right. Well, many of the mayor are from last year. So
you know, Mayor and Rich and Mark, I wanted to tell you that I think that in the last few years, some of the American people have become more realistic the way they're spending their money. They are going out to the stores and looking at labels. They're being more conservative, not just that grab anything that's, you know, at their hands, which is in one respect bad for business, but it could also be very good for businesses making things in America, because people are now looking to see from A to Z what they can find that's American made. And that's where cities like Philadelphia, Allentown, and everyone else can make a hit, by urging your think tanks to come out and do their thing to make new products available.
So, and to Mayor Ed's comment, Tom Wolf is a businessman. And not only is he a businessman, he's a successful businessman several times over with the same company. And it will be very interesting, because there will be a balance of both parties. It will be real interesting to see his leadership take hold and see, you know, what happens to small businesses and the growth of small businesses in the state of Pennsylvania. I hope he really gives it a lot of attention.
Very good. Mark, what would you like to add to that part of the Santa's wish list?
Yeah, no, I like it. Larkin, you're right. People got to start, get along. I say one country, one goal. You know, get healthy, get self-sufficient. I use that in my company. We've got to work together, stop the butting of the heads, get on the same track, and really focus on this list.
Yeah, and Mayor Ed, you know yourself, from the time you came into Allentown, what would you say changed from the time you became mayor to date?
Everything.
Did you find a new spirit in the people? Because that's what I hear happened to Allentown.
Not initially. I mean, it took time. It took 10 years to get to that point. We've rebuilt the economy. We have lots of jobs. Our unemployment rate fell 4 points here in the city. We've created thousands of new jobs, $1 billion worth of new investment, and we haven't raised taxes in 10 years now. And our crime rate's down for the 8th straight year in a row. So it took a while to do that.
That's wonderful.
But that has changed your perception.
Well, see, that's exactly what we're talking about with Larkin's list. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. People have jobs now in Allentown, so they're more fulfilled. They feel better about themselves. They have a purpose in life. Also, how is the educational system cooperating as far as trade programs?
They're trying, but the school district is separate from the city, and they're struggling like every other urban school district in the state. You know, the way that the state has, at least in Pennsylvania, has set up the system, it's almost a failing scenario for most public school systems in the state of Pennsylvania, especially in large urban areas.
Yeah, there's no question. I don't even know how to approach the problem, educational problem in Philadelphia. I really don't. I mean, it's the controls in the wrong place.
Well, last week, John Ratzenberger was our guest on the show, and he said that since they dropped the trade programs, the shops in the schools, we've had a lot of problems happening in the school system because boys and girls who would have some knowledge of something and could decide which way they want to continue now have nothing, just a classroom to show up in. And, you know, it's almost like a monitoring station where you look, you know, try to keep the kids in order rather than actually having them learn a trade. Not everybody is meant for the trades, but at least you have a stab at it to see if that's what you want to do. Mark, I don't know what more you could do out in Buffalo to influence your school district. I mean, you're talking about how you need your welders. I'm sure you're in welding. The next person's in electronics. How are these people going to get to these school administrators?
Well, Mike, even my past year now, I was 46 employees this time last year. I went to 31 when it got the worst in the end of February. I'm at 72 right now. So we hired over 40 employees this year, and none of them really could weld. And we started our own school, our own training. And who does that? Not even Ford. And we pushed and pushed. And I'm happy to say today we made a difference. So we were just talking this morning. I want to, you know, continue to start my own trade school, general welding and fabricating. We have the two plants, but we're a university in ourselves. Nobody teaches fabrication of metal. We have welding and fabrication. And I'm working with Alfred. I'm very happy to say Alfred State College in New York here. I've got five kids, students, from the Western New York area that became my friends. I know most of them, and they're going to Alfred. They also, on their break here in the holiday recess, are doing a little intern, and they're going to be my future employees. So it is happening. We just need more trade schools. You got to give parents and guidance counselors have to make it okay to work with your hands again. Everybody isn't made for college. They got to give them a choice at a younger age, 6th, 7th, or 8th, and expose them to what we need and what else they can do.
Mayor Ed, I have a challenge for you. When the budget hearings begin on education, maybe you can ask for a seat at the table and say how important restoring the trades and the shops would be in our schools.
I would love to. I mean, you know, the discussion has to begin first. We'll see. We'll see how the discussion actually pans out, and you know how the legislatures in both houses want to tackle this. It's going to be interesting, and there's lots of, you know, shortfalls in revenue, and I'm going to be curious to see how this is all going to unfold.
I would like to see
if they will even have a discussion about, you know.
So, Mr. Mayor, tell me again what's wrong with the current structure.
Well, I mean, there's a lot wrong with the current structure, but I think one of the biggest things that's wrong with the current structure is the way that the charter system is set up. It's directly draining resources from the public schools. Now, I understand why people will choose to put their kids in a charter, but at the same time, you've created the system where all we're doing is teaching to the test, and then we've created a charter structure that's directly taking dollar for dollar, you know, out of the school system. So for Philadelphia, I think they lost something like $200 million last year.
Yeah.
To charter schools. In Allentown, you know, they had a $21 million deficit, and $19 million of that was from charters. So, you know, you have now created a scenario in Pennsylvania that's, you know, cascading upon itself that is really dismantling public schools. And at some point in time, you know, we're going to have a serious discussion in this country about, do we value public education? If we value public education, then we need to actually focus on restructuring the way that the system works and putting the resources necessary, you know, to fund it. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, the state used to fund our public schools to the tune of, you know, 70-75%. Now it's like 40%.
So what you're saying is in order to resolve an education problem, they allowed charter schools into the mix?
Yeah, and they were supposed to be experimental schools, right? You know, so executive academies focused on STEM, things of that nature, you know, science, technology, engineering, math. But, you know, now they've just become a replacement to publicly subsidized private schools, which in many cases are actually making money off, you know, off the public schools. They used to have a scenario where they'd share part of the resources with the school district. They don't even have that anymore. So the school district has to monitor and oversee these private institutions. They don't get a penny for it. It's a terrible scenario that we set up in Pennsylvania.
Is it fair to say that the school has become a business of making money instead of educating?
Yes. I think it's pretty fair to say that, I mean, not all of them. Some of them are doing a very good job educating, you know. But there's a lot that are viewed as just a way to make extra dollars.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. In fact, we were talking earlier about how many people are paid big money to be the administrators or presidents of the schools. Maybe we should pay them based upon the report card that they are able to produce at the end of an academic year to make sure that their kids are graduating, not 50% are graduating with job possibilities, but 50% have 50% more have 100% job possibilities.
Mr. Mayor, I made the comment earlier that I could not understand how anybody in their right mind could pay the president. I don't care how pivotal that university is in the system of higher education, how anybody can pay a president of a major university $1.4 million a year. I don't get that. I just
it happens quite often, large and small institutions. You had a president of a college that's making more than the president of the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all that. Maybe we're going to have to talk about exposing all these things more. With the internet, we're able to put them things up there and ask the questions. Why is this happening over that? Rich, you were going to say something.
Last point before Larkin gets his. I think, Larkin, you got one more. We're talking about school universities. You could easily find public school superintendents making more than the president of the United States.
Absolutely, yeah, easily.
Yeah, you could find that.
Yeah.
Easily.
In New Jersey, every high school, middle school, grade school, they're their own school district in and of themselves. Each town has their own school district.
Guys, it is so passe to say, I want to grow up to be the president of the United States. The hell with that. I want to grow up to be a public school superintendent.
We have to get to Mr. Larkin's fifth point.
Well, it's self-serving, and I'll get it out of the way so we can finish this discussion. And that is, I asked Santa for SCORE on both a local and national level to have another banner year helping budding entrepreneurs start their businesses and existing small businesses grow their business through the programs and mentoring and face-to-face mentoring that we do throughout the country and all of it for free.
Well, Larkin, I have to tell you, your operation has been outstanding. We're going to look to see 2015 as a delivery point for Santa. He's got to produce. And we're going to encourage more reshoring of our businesses this year, and which will help Mayor Ed Pawlowski there in Allentown and everybody here in Philadelphia and across the USA. And I hate to tell you, we're getting close to the end. This is Christmas Eve. I want to wish every one of you the very best. Mayor Ed, I'm going to give you our farewell time for you to wish your people a very happy Christmas, Vesoi Shviont, and also we'll go to Mark and to Rich.
Well, I just want to wish everyone out there a very, very Merry Christmas and a great New Year, and may blessings be upon you as we enter this new year. I'm looking forward to a new year that's going to be one of prosperity and really be a time when we can bring our country and our state back to the values that we were founded upon, which is, you know, making sure we have good jobs, good education for all.
Mayor Ed, I want to tell you, that's the best statement, because education is what's going to lead us further down the road to success. Mark, what would you like to say to our listeners on this Christmas Eve?
Well, to our listeners, you, Mike, Rich, Larkin, Henry and Mayor Ed, I'd just like to wish you a Merry Christmas. I'd like us all to be thankful for what we have and a prosperous new year. We've accomplished so much together, and if we stay positive, the sky's the limit. So Merry Christmas.
Very good. Thank you much, Mark. And Rich, what would you like to add?
Guys, I just want to say thank you. So Michael, thank you so much again for the opportunity this year to be on the show and to our listeners and for everyone participating. I just need to give a shout out to a local business here of ours, A1A Guitars in Dania Beach. The owner, Jeff, I got to say, he makes one heck of an eggnog, and he's doing a whole week of holiday specials in his store. And to all the business owners, to everyone who is day to day just trying to fight the good fight, keeping afloat, believing in what they're doing, I tip my hat to all of them. I think 2015, Larkin, is going to be an even better year for me in America.
Hear, hear.
I want to thank Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Mayor Ed Pawlowski, and also Rich Loges and Larkin Connolly for his wish list. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you spread the word. An email will be going out today highlighting today's broadcast. Please do send it to your family members and friends. And remember, 2015 is coming up very soon. We're going to need all of you to help American workers in every way possible. Until next Wednesday at 11, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. Wesołych Świąt, Bożego Narodzenia i Szczęśliwego Nowego Roku.